Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
For a long time, some would suggest that soccer in Ireland has been treated as the poor relation to GAA and to rugby. And that's certainly the opinion of our first guest on the programme today, who is Labour TD Eoin O'Riordan, who joins me on the line. Eoin, why are you saying that soccer is the poor relation to GAA and rugby?
Well, partly historically, Adrian, partly for its own fault, poorly administrated, and we all know the reasons behind that. But I suppose the reason that I'm trying to raise the issue of football, as we are, or many people are enjoying Euro 2020, it's supposed to utilise the power of the game as a tool for young people in disadvantaged areas, as a tool for integration. It's never really been knitted into the school system or the education system as other games have been. We know about rugby schools have been in existence for 140 years in Ireland. We know about many schools are GAA schools, but soccer has never really been as endemic, if you like, or as knitted into the education.
Why do you think that is? Is it because, I mean, you mentioned rugby schools, and obviously they've been around for donkey's years. There's no such thing as a GAA school, although it is played in a lot of schools. Why do you think soccer has just been sidelined? Is it that old belief that it's seen as a foreign sport?
Well, it was sidelined for quite a long time. You know, in the early years, the state was very difficult to get support for it. It was seen as the working man's game. It was seen as a more working person's game. The elite game of rugby would have been played in fee-paying Jesuit schools, and again, the GAA would have been promoted in Christian Butter schools. This is in the early years of the state. Now, since the 80s and 90s, all these kind of barriers have broken down. But what we're trying to achieve in the Labour Party is discussion around how we can get young people playing football in school at a more practical level, a daily basis in transition year. And that's what our proposal is about. That's really the reason why I'm on to talk to you about.
So you've called for the introduction of an 11 million euro scheme to teach football skills, as you said, during transition year. Why is it so important to bring it into schools when we have soccer clubs all over the country with kids playing every day?
Well, if you look at what Stephen Elliott is doing, and I've discussed this with Stephen Elliott, the former Republic of Ireland striker, he has a school like this in Sunderland, and what they do is they knit it into the school day. So what we're trying to do is to encourage young people aged 16 when they're legally entitled to leave school. Football is a game that actually attracts a lot of support in disadvantaged areas. We know the power it has amongst new communities in Ireland, different ethnic backgrounds and all the rest of it, and it has a very big role to play in gender equality as well. So what we're trying to do is to do that in transition year, to have a scheme where schools could opt in, where it could be taught and coached on a daily basis. So it has never really been the mainstay of the education system as other games have been. So this isn't an attempt to, I suppose, muscle in on other games. I mean, rugby needs to be congratulated for what they've achieved. The GAA is an incredible organisation. I think football, partly because it's been so poorly run by the FAI themselves over many generations, but also because of sort of legacy issues of not being knitted into the education system, we can do that with state support. And if we were able to get schools to opt in a transition year to have this coaching done daily, I think young people would benefit, the game would obviously benefit, the school would benefit, and I think that's something we want to look at. Now, just so your listeners would realise, the Horse and Greyhound Fund, for example, another fantastic industry, which is a great employer, that benefits from a thing called the betting levy, which raises about 89 million a year. What we're suggesting is that 0.25% will be put onto that betting levy in order to raise 11 million for this scheme.
Okay, I want to read out a text that's just come in to us, Eoin, and get your reaction to it. And our text number is 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. You can also call us on 1890-453-106. Anyway, Eoin, have a listen to this message. Adrian, we are not good enough at football these days. When I watch the Euros at the moment, it makes me embarrassed to be Irish. We need to get better so we don't miss out on events like this in the future. to hear somebody describe themselves as embarrassed to be Irish, even though we're not playing in the Euros, maybe that's why he's embarrassed to be Irish. This is part of the problem, is it? That we no longer have a national team to look up to and to aspire to.
Well, look, I think emotionally, financially, and lots of other ways, we have sort of turned to England for the last 60, 70 years. We expect our players to go to England. We have for a long time supported English teams. For some people, it's more important that Liverpool get into the Champions League than Ireland get into the World Cup. And we have a kind of a chip on our shoulder when it comes to people who are, you know, Irish soccer people who believe in the League of Ireland, who believe in creating a football industry here. There's a huge number of people who are really interested in the game. But if you look at some of the education standards of League of Ireland people, and Steve McGuinness would say this from the PFAI, 30% of League of Ireland players only have a junior cert as their qualification. So we can create, if we were to look at things differently in Ireland, a proper football industry. We don't always have to export our players to England.
Unfortunately, that is the end result in a lot of cases. If a player is particularly good...
It doesn't have to be.
If a player is particularly good, they would aspire to play in English football. If you compare that to, say, for example, the GAA, we might lose a few players every year to Aussie rules, but that's it. That is their level.
I think what football has to do is learn from what the GAA have achieved, learn from what rugby has achieved, learn from what the Horse and Greyhound Fund have achieved. They've achieved fantastic domestic industries, if you like, around the sporting organisation. The FAI have not organised themselves well over years. They've allowed the entire drift to take place over to England. And what we could actually achieve here through the scheme that we're talking about is to embed football in second level schools to such a degree that you're 16, you don't have to go to England. You could actually learn this game daily in your own secondary school and learn the curriculum as laid out as well. So it could be something that you really enjoy, but you don't have to do it outside of school. If you're doing it daily, you're going to get better. And then what happens then is that we can feed that into domestic league season or domestic league and believe in ourselves again. What the game does in areas of disadvantage is really strong. When we have a situation when the national teams are doing well, men or women, it gives the whole country a lift. But we have to step back and look strategically as to how other games are doing it well.
Okay, let me read a message that's just come in from Richard in Monaghan, and he says, this needs to be done in primary school. It's far too late at 15 or 16. I mean, you're talking about transition year, and Richard is saying, you know, that's far too late.
I'd accept that, but it would be a big ask to ask primary schools to include a daily football session into their curriculum, which is already overcrowded. What we're suggesting here is that at this stage in a young person's development, just as they might be thinking about leaving school or potentially going to England, that this is something that they could do within their own second level experience. I've spoken to Stephen Hunt about it, another former international. He said that when he did transition year, there was nothing within transition year that was going to get him excited, but football was already taught about. So if at that stage in your life, if football is all you're thinking about, it shouldn't be something that's alien to the school day. So while, look, all games are going to be promoted at primary school, all games should be promoted at primary school, but this is something I think as an in transition year would be of great benefit to the young person, to the school, and obviously the game as well. But we have to just think differently about football in Ireland. We can't constantly be looking over to England to produce our players, to train our players, or to expect somebody with an Irish parents or grandparents to come back and play for the country. We should believe in ourselves an awful lot more. Other countries have done it. Iceland have done it. We can do it here too.
Okay, Aon, stay with me for 1 second because I want to bring in Jackie, who's on the line in Mullingar. Jackie, the Labour Party calling for €11 million to be put into bringing soccer into Irish schools in transition year. What do you think of this?
I actually think it's a very good idea, because for every 2,000 or 3,000 that go over to England, one or two might make it in the lower leagues, never mind the Premiership. And now I think under the Brexit, the players can't leave till they're 18. So there'll be no harm having their leaving cert behind them with some sort of education. They're not end up in a scrap heap with nothing.
And do you think having soccer featured in the school curriculum in transition year would make a difference?
I do. If you look at Seamus Coleman's story, he wasn't picked up until he's playing a pre-season friendly. Like, he'd have been picked up in school if he had with FAI coaches around. Now,
but isn't that what we have soccer clubs for, to you know, spot young talent? It's not like we don't have soccer clubs.
I know an awful lot of lads who didn't start playing until they're 16 or 17. They were actually very, very good at it. They were just into Gaelic and hurling. Just one of these lads, just give them a ball and they're great at it. But, like, I'd agree anything would help going forward. Like, I'd agree with the previous texter, try to get it in earlier, but concentrate on this area now, because lads that want to go and play football, they can't go from 16 to 18 and they might leave after the junior start and do nothing.
Okay, I want to read another message, Aon, to you, if I may. I went to a Dublin Northside De La Salle school, and I can assure you it was a GAA school. This goes back to the point I was making earlier on, that we don't have specific GAA schools, but he's arguing the point. Not once in 14 years was rugby played, and the only soccer played was when the boys kicked a ball around during break. It was the blinkered attitude of some rabid GAA types that this ensured my lifelong disdain for all GAA games, says John in Leeson Street. Okay, John. The fact of the matter is that he's arguing that there are GAA schools that we already know. We have rugby schools. So you think we need soccer to be taught? And I'm deliberately using the word soccer to differentiate it from Gaelic football. You think we need to embed it into our schools in a transition year?
Well, look, this shouldn't be a competition between different games, but, you know, I'm a great lover of the GAA. I've observed what they've done. I used to take Gaelic football teams myself where I taught. And the sense of occasion in primary schools when you get to a primary school final in Dublin is that the primary school final is played in Croke Park. There's a great sense of mission around the GAA, a great sense of togetherness. And my own little one, she's three, she went down to get GAA training on Saturday, and it was just magnificent. I want that replicated in games that everybody loves. And football is a game that reaches into our most disadvantaged communities, some of our most vulnerable citizens, those who come here from abroad. You know, this is the way in to speak a language, an international language. And it has been alienated from the school system for many years. It's not as bad as it used to be. We all heard a story about Liam Brady and stories that Owen Hand would tell about the very negative attitude towards soccer that used to be there in Christian Butler schools in particular. But that's all melted away now. But we haven't had a strategic way of embedding it and getting young people to enjoy it, and potentially at age 16 and 15 in transition year to make it part of their daily lives. And also, like, if soccer is all you think about, all you want to do in the evening time, all you talk about, what you want to watch on television, it should be part of your school day as well. And it'll lead that young person to think differently about school, about their other academic work. And also we can then begin to build a soccer industry here in Ireland. It's something that I know the Minister for Sport is interested in. I know the Minister for Education is interested in. I've spoken to both those ministers and they're interested in furthering the thing. It will take, you know, investment. 11 million is what we believe would be what is needed. But
can I ask you, Aidan, is there a failing on the part of the FAI for not actually getting into schools?
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know, look, for many years, you know, they weren't welcome. And when the ban was there until 1971, it was very difficult for soccer to get in. But I think what the FAI have done, their failings, the fact that the waste of money, we've all read Champagne Football and see how the game has been very poorly served by the FAI, even though there's brilliant people in there. I think at this stage, for the future of the game, we need to think differently about how it's structured. So there is the club system, there is the league system around the country, and there's domestic, you know, thing that happens at weekends. But the difference between soccer and rugby and GAA is that there are schools that identify themselves as GAA schools, there are schools that identify themselves as rugby schools, and both those games will use that school system in order to produce players, promote the game, and make the game better.
Okay, I want to just read a message that's just come into us.
It's the same thing.
I want to read a message that's just come into us. Now, I don't know how true this is, but it says, the problem with soccer is that League of Ireland clubs are forcing 14-year-olds to give up all other sports if they wish to play soccer. Children this age are too young to have to choose one sport. Most children play and benefit hugely from playing at least two sports. This behaviour of soccer clubs is turning parents and children off soccer. He says it's a very short-sighted approach. What would you say to that?
I don't know. That's true. I mean, I know in my own constituency, if you take Raheny, for example, this huge collaboration and involvement between Raheny United and Raheny GAA club that happens in right across Dublin. You know, there's any amount of examples of players like Shane Long who played hurling up until minor 11 and then went on to have a soccer career. I don't think that is something that is going to be beneficial for any child. What we need to put here is the child at the centre of the discussion here. If the child is into football, that child needs a way of expressing themselves through that game in the school system. And this is what we're talking about. It shouldn't be alien to the school system. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to leave the development of the game in the hands of the FAI for too long. So I think politics has to step up. Politics actually can be a leader in this way in order to ensure that the game is can be enjoyed at school level. And it also helps mental health. It helps, obviously, physical health. It has all these other benefits for young people. And that's what we're trying to achieve. And okay, for 11 million, there's an awful lot that could be done.
All right. Labour TD and spokesperson on education, Aidan O'Riordan, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on News Talk. David is on the line. David, why did you get in touch with us?
Adrian, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I've been involved in grassroots football in Ireland for the last 15 years. We also run one of the biggest sports travel companies, which bring away all the schoolboy teams and schools. And we've set up a full-time education and football program aimed at transition year and post-leaving cert students.
So you're saying it's being done already?
No, well, this has just been launched. We literally only launched it a couple of weeks ago, starting in September. So our view would be to get these kids to the United States. I've been involved in the agency game as well, and so many kids that go across the waters just haven't succeeded for various number of reasons, and ours would be to keep them in the education system with a full-time football programme with the views of obtaining them scholarships.
And what do you think of this Labour Party proposal for an €11 million scheme to teach football skills during school hours?
Yeah, look, the rugby are so successful at it, but even when you look at the rugby, it's probably condensed into a handful of clubs. So Leinster Rugby are so successful because they only have to go to Mary's, Blackrock and Ternier College and a handful of others in the Leinster region. So I think it's a lot of money to be spread over a lot of different schools for it to work.
So where we have the tradition of rugby schools going back generations, we don't have such a tradition in with soccer in schools. You think that would be very difficult to create, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think in the past you had the working class schools without classifying any skills, but you would have had skills that would have dominated skill football for a number of years, predominantly because they were from working class backgrounds, which produced kids that were out playing football on the street. So, yeah, it's a lot of money to throw at something to be spread over a huge catchment area. And how specific are they making it? Like, they're saying,
well, they're talking about transition year and using it to get kids playing football, soccer in transition year. A lot of people messaging us are saying if you want to do something like this, it needs to start much younger. Much younger, I mean, I was at my local Gaelic ground the other morning and saw 4-year-old kids running around chasing the ball. So you would think 16 is a little bit too late. Tommy is on the line in Waterford. Tommy, what do you think of this proposal to get soccer into Irish schools?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I find it ironic to hear that somebody's complaining that a soccer club or soccer clubs are trying to take people exclusively to play soccer. I mean, this is why we have one of the problems that we have, that our soccer team is not very good anymore. Because for many, many years, you know, the GAA forbid people to play soccer, rugby, cricket, any of those kind of games at all.
Yeah, but they don't do that anymore.
It's a root cause, I think, of what happened. You know, because there's always this element of not playing soccer because the other games are more patriotic and they're rougher and tougher and they're more Irish, you know, all this kind of thing. This is all played up for years.
Okay, do you think we need to invest taxpayers' money into soccer in secondary schools here in Ireland?
I would say so. I have no involvement with any club or anything nowadays. But I would say that's a good idea. And as the other bloke said, I think even younger kids, you know, because you must develop the control of the ball at a young age. I know that from my own youth, my own childhood. I went to England and I started playing soccer in England. and at around the age of 19, I'd never played it before, and I could see immediately the disadvantage I was at compared to the fellows I was playing with and against.
Tommy. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much indeed. Let me read out a few more of your messages. GAA, as our native games should be on the curriculum in schools, should not be left to the GAA to keep our culture vibrant. The Department of Education should be doing this and not leaving it to goodwill of voluntary teachers. If we as a nation don't do it, who will? And one more message. Sounds good, but GAA and rugby had teachers who were big into the sports. Who will coach the players? It is vital players are coached correctly. Soccer are terrible at minding players, forcing players to choose. It usually backfired on soccer clubs. It's not a simple fix, says Liam.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.